Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. On the battlefield where Sri Krishna attended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses, and because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Sri Krishna. Purport. The Lord is the absolute form of eternity, bliss and knowledge. As such, transcendental loving service to the Lord in one of the five principal relations, namely Shanta, Dasya, Satya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, that is neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, filial affection and conjugal love, is graciously accepted by the Lord when offered to the Lord in genuine love and affection. Sri Bhishma Dev is a great devotee of the Lord in the relationship of servitorship. Thus, his throwing of sharp arrows at the transcendental body of the Lord is as good as the worship of another devotee who throws soft roses upon him. It appears that Bhishma Dev is repenting the actions he committed against the person of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's body was not at all pained due to his transcendental existence. His body is not matter. Both he, himself and his body are complete spiritual identity. Spirit is never pierced, burnt, dried, moistened, etc. This is vividly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So also it is stated in the Skanda Purana. It is said there that spirit is always uncontaminated and indestructible. It cannot be distressed, nor can it be dried up. When Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation, appears before us, he seems to be like one of the conditioned souls, materially engaged, just to bewilder the asuras or the non-believers, who are always alert to kill the Lord, even from the very beginning of his appearance. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna and Ravana wanted to kill Rama, because foolishly they were unaware of the fact that the Lord is never killed, for the spirit is never annihilated. Therefore, Bhishma Dev's piercing of the body of Lord Krishna is a sort of bewildering problem for the non-devotee atheist. But those who are devotees or liberated souls are not bewildered. Bhishma Dev appreciated the all-merciful attitude of the Lord because he did not leave Arjuna alone. Although he was disturbed by the sharpened arrows of Bhishma Dev, nor was he reluctant to come before Bhishma's deathbed, even though he was ill-treated by him on the battlefield. Bhishma's repentance and the Lord's merciful attitude are both unique in this picture. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a great acharya and devotee in the humor of conjugal love with the Lord, remarks very saliently in this regard. He says that the wounds created by the body of the Lord, by the sharpened arrows of Bhishma Dev, were as pleasing to Lord as the biting of a fiancé who bites the Lord's body directed by a strong sense of sex desire. Such biting by the opposite sex is never taken as a sign of enmity, even if there is a wound on the body. Therefore, the fighting as an exchange of transcendental pleasure between the Lord and his pure devotee Sri Bhishma Deva was not at all mundane. Besides that, since the Lord's body and the Lord are identical, there was no possibility of wounds in the absolute body. The apparent wounds caused by the sharpened arrows are misleading to the common man, but one who has a little absolute knowledge can understand the transcendental exchange in the chivalrous relation. The Lord was perfectly happy with the wounds caused by the sharpened arrows of Bhishma Dev. The word vividyamana is significant because the Lord's skin is not different from the Lord. Because our skin is different from our soul, in our case the word vividyamana, or being bruised and cut, would have been quite suitable. Transcendental bliss is of different varieties, and the variety of activities in the mundane world is but a perverted reflection of transcendental bliss, because everything in the mundane world is qualitatively mundane. It is full of inebrieties, whereas in the absolute realm, because everything is of the same absolute nature, there are varieties of enjoyment without inebriety. The Lord enjoyed the wounds created by his great devotee Bhishma Dev, and because Bhishma Dev is a devotee in the chivalrous relation, he fixes up his mind on Krishna in that wounded condition. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Vivim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarunam Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare chapter, passing away of Bhishma Dev. It's a very nice pastime and it's very interesting to see Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows. We don't generally see such scenes. And in that situation also he's giving, as a Mahajan, he's giving all the principles of religion, principles of Dharma. So these particular verses, it started from 32 onward. These are like prayers by Bhishma Dev, very beautiful prayers. In such a externally it looks like a very distressful situation. He's lying on a bed of arrows, but even at that time he's able to compose such beautiful prayers. So that proves that he is on different platform. It's not on the bodily platform. On the bodily platform, even if there is a pin pricked in our finger, we can't compose, you know, even a fraction of such a prayer. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to somehow fix our mind on Krishna. So Bhishma Dev is showing this example that his mind is completely fixed on Krishna. Doesn't matter what the situation with his body is, his mind is totally at the lotus feet of Krishna. And he can remember, because he is in the, he has the chivalrous rasa with Krishna, so that's why he is meditating on that form of Lord, that is flowing hair turned ashen due to dust raised by the hoofs of horses and this perspiration on Lord's face. So he is relishing that that form of Lord, that Lord exhibited on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu it says, yen kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshe, that you just fix your mind on Krishna somehow or other. So that's the injunction given there. And he said all other rules and regulations, they are just like servants to this basic principle. So here Bhishma Dev has proven that his mind is totally attached to Krishna. So mind has a tendency, because it's very unsteady and flickering, so it just runs everywhere. So in Bhagavad Gita and all the other scriptures, so many instructions are given how to control mind, how to bring it to the lotus feet of Krishna. Mind has to be engaged somewhere, so there are techniques given. So one such technique is given in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. In 6th chapter he says, shanai shanai ruparame buddhya dhriti grihitya atma sansta mana kritva na kinchit api chintye. So he says, of course mind is unsteady and flickering, but just bring it under control and with full patience and determination. So shanai shanai, gradually, step by step. So we have to plan with our intelligence and full determination that we must bring our mind to Krishna. Otherwise it just runs here and there, and it gathers different samskaras, different it associates with different material things, and that leads to material conceptions. So based on those conceptions, actually the living entity is taking body after body, because we get these mind associates with these different material thoughts, and then we think we are that thought, or you know, we identify with the body and the mind. But if we fix our mind on Krishna, then there is no chance of fall down. So here we see in this pastime, here it says Lord is pierced by sharp arrows of Bhishma Dev. And in the last line of the translation says, and that position was enjoyed by him. So how is that? He is being pierced by arrows and he is enjoying that. So that proves that actually Lord can enjoy any situation. So this duality exists only in the material condition, that we have happiness, distress, like that. But for Lord there is only enjoyment. He enjoys different positions. It's not that he only enjoys in the rasa dance or in his Vrindavan pastimes. No. Lord can actually enjoy all of his pastimes. He can enjoy in spiritual world, he can enjoy in material world, in any of the pastimes on the battlefield of Kurukshetra while being pierced. So he feels that it's like an offering of roses. So he feels it as same, because Bhishma Dev has love for him. So that's why he feels like that. The Bhishma Dev's relation has been developed. So in that relation he's fighting with Krishna to give him pleasure. And he is also taking that pleasure in that relation. So that's his natural condition. So Lord is actually the supreme enjoyer. So the word Purusha means the enjoyer. Prakriti is the one which is enjoyed. So we all living entities are Prakriti, and this material nature is also Prakriti. One is superior, one is inferior. And Lord enjoys both. So he is the supreme enjoyer. But when we see the devotees, they serve Krishna, they also enjoy in that service. So when Krishna sees that, this my devotees are enjoying, so he also wants to serve a devotee. So that's why that Brahmana of Rangakshetra, who didn't know how to read properly, when he saw that he was having Bhagavad Gita in his hands and he was crying with tears of ecstasy, Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you crying?" So he actually was meditating on that aspect, that actually Lord is serving his devotee. So when Krishna sees that, this service actually gives so much pleasure, so he serves his devotee also. And ultimately he thinks actually that who is the best devotee, that's Radharani. And she and Lord Krishna sees that, what is she tasting in this service? So he then actually, it's not like, then Radharani becomes supreme enjoyer. So Krishna always stays supreme enjoyer, in the sense, there's of course no difference between Radha and Krishna. Radharani is the energy of Krishna. But when he sees that he thinks, what is she tasting? So then he still retains his position as the supreme enjoyer, and he takes the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He takes the mood of Radharani and he enjoys fully, more sweeter pastimes, as we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures, that how actually Krishna enjoys. And in Chaitanya Leela he just takes it to different dimension. As we know, we have this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we have Panch Tattva Maha Mantra, which is Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi, Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Then there is Panch Tattva Pranam Mantra, which is Panch Tattvatmakam Krishna, Bhakta Roop Swarupakam, Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shatrikam. So there actually in this Chaitanya Leela Lord exhibits, he comes as five, this Pancha Tattva. So there he shows that actually how he enjoys. He is the supreme enjoyer, but in Pancha Tattva there is three personalities of Godhead, three supreme enjoyers. He expands into his these expansions, and all act as devotees, because that's established that the devotee in his service he enjoys. So Krishna expands and he comes as these in five forms, and then interact with each other and enjoy. It's like enjoyment increases to a totally new degree. So panchatatmaatmakam Krishna, bhakta rupa. So what is the form? Lord Krishna takes the form of a devotee, bhakta rupa. Okay? So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarupakam, that's the expansion of Lord as a devotee. That's Nityananda Prabhu. Bhaktavataram, then incarnation of a devotee. That's Advaita Acharya, that's Mahavishnu. So that he also acts as a devotee. So these are three personalities of Godhead. Then Bhaktakyam, known as a devotee, Srivas Acharya, that's the perfect devotee, that's Jiva, separated, pure devotee. And then Bhakta Shaktikam, Gadadhar Pandit, which is internal energy. So there, in this Leela, he actually shows that how he can actually fully enjoy. So he still retains his spot as supreme enjoyer. So these are the wonderful pastimes, and only actually devotees can understand that how actually Krishna enjoys. And then devotees want to serve Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the full understanding. Of course, in Kali Yuga we approach Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that way our worship is perfect. So here Bhishma Dev, who has realized this service to Krishna, is topmost. He is serving Krishna by fighting. If we see Bhishma Dev's life from a material point of view, then it looks very pathetic, that he suffered a lot actually. Of course, here he is suffering, he is on the bed of arrows, and he was born in a Kshatriya family, he was meant to rule. But he took the vow that okay, he would stay brahmachari, he won't marry. Kings were supposed to take many wives and then rule the kingdom, but he was just assisted the king. He didn't take the main position like that, and he did not marry. So on a material platform it looks like very sad situation. So as brahmacharis also, we also sometimes become the object of sympathy of many people. So of course materialists many a times they ask, they don't understand bhakti at all. They ask that, oh, you're not going to marry? Say no. Then they look like with such a pity, you know. So then we want to explain a little more like that. There are four ashramas, you know. There is an option, it's not compulsory. So like that we try to explain. But even actually many devotees also approach us, and they see with very sympathetic vision. So they say, oh, there's no independence. Have to eat khichdi every day. Sometimes devotees ask, okay, you can cook whatever you want, please tell us. But it's not like that. It's not that way. Bhishma Dev, because he didn't marry, he was suffering. No, it's not like that. It looks like that, but it's not a dry existence. He had this relationship with Krishna. He was always thinking of Krishna. Even in the beginning of battle of Kurukshetra, in the first chapter, when there is observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there Duryodhana is enlisting all the warriors on both sides. So then Bhishma Dev knew that Pandavas will win because Krishna is with them. He had full faith in Krishna. So he sounded his conch shell. So meaning of, I mean, when he blew his conch shell, that actually meant that conch shell is a symbol of Vishnu or Krishna. So he pretty much said that Krishna is going to win anyway. So he didn't have any doubts about that. He was always in this relationship with Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, it says the word given is Rasagya Rom Rolambam. It's like the devotee is addressed as Rasagya, that he actually knows the meaning of rasa, the real rasa. And he's like a honeybee, he's always licking that nectar, he's always tasting that nectar of his relationship with Krishna. So that was actually Bhishma Dev's position. And even at the end of his, now he's going to leave his body soon. So there, that time also he's not suffering. He's not identifying with the body at all. And he is not feeling the pain. His mind is totally on Krishna. And this has been proven again and again in Bhagavatam and other scriptures, that these pure devotees, they are not afraid of death because they don't identify with the body. The one example is of Parikshit Maharaj. Of course, this Bhagavatam is spoken to Parikshit Maharaj by Shukadev Goswami. So he also shows this example. So he, when he was hunting, he was once hunting and then he felt thirsty and he entered the cottage of the sage, and that whole pastime happened, and he got cursed by the son of the sage. So when he was returning from that cottage, he thought that, oh, I think I have done a fault, I made a mistake. So he actually then desired that, actually I desired that I get the reaction very quickly. So he was not at all afraid. Temporarily he was actually covered, so that, you know, he does that and he was cursed, and then Bhagavatam was to be spoken soon after that. So when he was returning, he realized and he said, okay, let some calamity happen now so that I can get rid of that sin that I did. And then soon he came to know that, oh, he has got this curse that he is going to die in 7 days. And he took it as a good news. He said, oh wow, I'm going to die. So, you know, so this proves that actually a pure devotee like Bhishma Dev, Parikshit Maharaj, they are not at all afraid of death. So only desire of devotees is to serve Krishna. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamye mam janmani janmeshware bhakta bhakti rahito kitvai. I don't want anything else, I just want your causeless devotional service, Lord Bhaktivinoda. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he got cursed, he didn't try to counteract that curse. He said, he prayed to Lord. He actually prayed that I get these three things. He said, I don't mind to take birth in this material world again and again. Only thing I want is that even if I come back in this material world, I should have this complete attachment to Krishna. That's one. And second is, he asked that I have association of devotees. And third thing, he wanted to have friendly relation with all living entities. So this is actually the proof that he then left everything, whole kingdom, and he sat on the bank of Ganges. And then when all the sages came and then Shukadev Goswami came, he asked, okay, what is my duty now? You are such a great sage. You are the spiritual master of so many great yogis. You tell me, what is the duty? What is my duty? I am about to die. So this is the perfection. He was ready to hear about Krishna. And here Bhishma Dev is also showing this. He is glorifying Krishna. So that's the life of a devotee. Hearing and chanting and remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. They're always chanting, hearing, and remembering Krishna. And at the time of death, also doing the same thing, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. It's not that, you know, you do that now to get something else. So the means and the end is same. It's a continuous process, eternal process. So Krishna is after this love, actually. So Krishna actually really enjoyed the arrows thrown by Bhishma Dev. So Krishna wants to see that love. He doesn't want to see, you know, some material skill or material offering like that. Krishna wants the love. So there is one verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So there it says, Murko vadati Vishnaya, Dhiro vadati Vishnave, Ubhayostu samam punyam, Bhava grahi janardana. So there it says, the Sanskrit language has a grammar. Those who know, it's a tough grammar, very few people can learn the whole thing. So there this verse means, at the time of offering obeisances to Lord Vishnu, a foolish person chants Vishnaya Namaha. So this is improper due to faulty grammar. And a learned person chants Vishnave Namaha. So this is in the grammar, you know, if it ends with like Krishna, if it ends with a so while making an obeisance or you know, while paying obeisance, you will say like Krishnaya Namaha, Narayanaya Namaha. But Vishnu ends with a U, so you won't say Vishnaya Namaha. So that's wrong grammar. But here it says, you know, the foolish person will say Vishnaya Namaha and a learned person will say Vishnave Namaha. This is the correct form. But both achieve equal piety by their offering of obeisances because Lord Sri Janardana sees the sentiment of the living entity. In other words, he sees the degree of devotion or he awards the result accordingly. He does not see one's foolishness or intelligence. So that's Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna actually sees the Bhava, what Bhava or what are we offering from our heart. He doesn't see the external offering of, you know, the material offering. He's after that love. He has got everything. Actually, as I said, brahmacharis sometimes are objects of sympathy and sometimes objects of anger also. Like one of my relatives, they were saying, oh, Krishna has got everything, so why are you staying in temple trying to serve him? He has got everything, he doesn't need your service. You know? What can you give to Krishna? She was very angry like that. He said, you can go on the weekend, give some talk there, that's alright, but you know, this is too much. But no, Krishna has everything, but he wants our love like that. So that's the main thing. There is actually one car company, it has got a logo, it says motion and emotion. So in bhakti actually we need to apply that. So we can't become like, okay, just armchair philosophers, reading, chanting all day, we can't do that. We have to actively serve Krishna with our body and do active service. Plus there has to be emotion also behind that. If mechanically we externally do so much service, then sleep 2 hours, 3 hours and just do so much physical service and there is no emotion, then that's also not the goal. So there has to be both things, motion and emotion, both things. So that's why this is this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very deep actually. So he had few reasons for his appearance. Some are the external reasons. External reasons were more obvious reasons that, okay, he spread the chanting of holy name, the Naam Sankirtan. And the internal reason is he wanted to taste what actually Radharani tastes and what qualities he sees in him like that. So same for devotees. As devotees we have to have actually developed this both moods, that we have to have this, we have to spread the chanting of holy names by preaching, book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, Prasadam distribution. And at the same time, we must also develop love for Krishna. So this is very important to have to do the both, to do both things. So that's why initially Chaitanya Charitamrita describes like the treasure house of love of Godhead. It was actually first plundered by the Panch Tattva. So they drank the nectar first and then they distributed. So like that. So we have to also take this nectar and then distribute to others. So that requires effort and guidance of senior Vaishnavas who have already done this. That's why we have Guru and other sadhus from whom we can take guidance and then go forward in our devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that. That was even stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that he would appear. That was predicted, and you know, and it says only the intelligent people will actually take this process of chanting. Yajanti hi sumedasa yankai sankirtanai pray yajanti hi sumedasa. So the intelligent people will actually take this process of chanting and spread this process of chanting. So that's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we must follow in the footsteps of these devotees like Bhishma Dev, Parikshit Maharaj, and learn this art of bhakti that, and actively be engaged in devotional service. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Hare Krishna.
Thinking about this move, enjoying Krishna and loving Krishna. Like the lady who said, just go on the weekend, what does Krishna mean? He has everything. But sometimes he doesn't have our love. So like it's nature to expand, to participate with that. So I'm thinking, is there a difference between like enjoying and loving?
Yeah, there is some difference. Real love means you want to give enjoyment to Krishna, not enjoy Krishna. So that's the real love. Real love is you want to give enjoyment to the object of love, to who you love.
We don't enjoy it.
We definitely enjoy it. That's the thing. If you water the root, then all the parts become satisfied, you know, anyway. But that's not the motive of a devotee to enjoy.
But like Bhagavan Swami says, like religion or bhakti, you know, dharma, bhakti, there's something above that which is what Krishna wants.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to be very selfless to serve him like that. And we think
that's the pure bhakti, anya vilashita shunyam. There is no other motive than to satisfy Krishna. That's uttama bhakti. Because we are part of Krishna, if like Krishna is the whole, we are the part. If we try to give enjoyment to the whole, the part will also enjoy. That's there. But as devotees, we don't think that we will enjoy. We will think Krishna will enjoy. But definitely we will enjoy also. So initially, as recently someone was discussing, Keshava Prabhu was discussing yesterday actually. So he was saying many devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness because they are suffering so much. Artho, Artharthi, Jigyasu, Gyani, Chabar, Darshava. Four types of people approach. So most are distressed because they are distressed. So now they come to Krishna consciousness to enjoy, right? Opposite of distress is enjoyment. But then as we grow in Krishna consciousness, we must come to the platform of giving enjoyment to Krishna. Then we enjoy more. It's not
the journey when he had to go on the battlefield, because he didn't know I'm going to enjoy this. He was saying, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yes. Well, then, yeah. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
At one time, Vishnu doing what? Because he was told, why you are not killing the Pandava, you love them. So, what do you think of that first time? Duryodhana told him,
yes,
that you are not really fighting with the Pandava. You are just playing with them, and therefore you are not really doing your job. So, in that light of love, Krishna, what do you think?
Yeah, then he said, okay, I'll take a vow. Tomorrow I'll kill all five, you know.
He took five.
Yeah, five arrows. But then he was cheated. Five arrows. Arjuna took five arrows, I think. Arjuna took five arrows.
Krishna
took five arrows, is it? Sorry? Arjuna took. Krishna suggested Arjuna that, okay, go and ask for those five arrows. So anyway, he was duty bound to Duryodhana, so he said he was, that's for fighting on that side. But the deeper meaning is he had that chivalrous rasa with Krishna, so he was even shooting arrows at Krishna. So that's Lord's arrangement, actually, Lord's will.
First he was shooting at Arjuna.
Yes, Arjuna also, and next Krishna week, as well.
Then Krishna intervened.
Mm-hmm.
We and he.
Yes.
Then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhu?
Oh, sometimes in our preaching efforts, we don't see any success coming out. And we see ourselves doing no good than others. Even though we are trying, but we don't see good result. What should be our attitude of this?
Yeah, I was feeling same thing a few days back, but then I was reading Lilamrita, then I was thinking of Prabhupada's example. That actually, you know, when we go out on book distribution or something, few books go out. But if we see Prabhupada's, there is the first book of Lilamrita, it's called Lifetime of Preparation. So how we actually struggle to preach in India, if we see that, we actually don't go through that tough time. So when we see this example of set by these acharyas like Prabhupada, how for preaching they took so much pain. He could only make one, he had one disciple before going to West, Acharya Prabhakar. And that too, he was not fully surrendered to his Prabhupada's cause. He was working somewhere else as well. So he wanted dedicated people. He formed League of Devotees, but that was also not successful. So like that, he took so much pain for preaching. So actually, we don't go through so hard struggle. So by his example, the same attitude of a devotee is he is determined, he is enthusiastic, and he is patient. Utsaha nishchaya dhairya tat tat karma pravartana. So we keep endeavoring, and result is always there, like that. So if we preach, result is always there, because we are attempting to glorify Krishna. So Krishna is recognizing straight away. It's not that we have to wait till the devotee is there, a pure, we made a pure devotee. Okay, we made 100 pure devotees. No, that's not the result. Result, of course, that's a result, but result is straight away there, as soon as we plan, actually. So Prabhupada used to say he was always scheming. He was making schemes. Okay, he will do, write so many books, send to these many countries. For so many years he did that. He struggled and he just could print three volumes of this first canto when he was in India. So like that. But he was always planning. And Krishna was happy. Like that. So we must keep planning and improving our efforts to please Krishna and glorify Krishna. The result is there straight away. We may not be able to see, but with guidance of devotees, then we will be satisfied also. That we are trying, you know, we are trying our best, so we should be satisfied. Does that satisfy you?
So like with our effort, we should understand that Krishna is satisfied.
Yes, yeah. Even with a small effort, even if we plan, he is satisfied. If we actually act on that plan, he is more satisfied. Result is in his hands. He is in the super soul. He is as super soul present in everyone's heart. So he can actually inspire anyone. So in Leelamrita also it says Prabhupada was trying to enthuse his disciples to go and open up centers. So he would say the principle of chanting is you just chant glories of Krishna with full devotion, and if Krishna is happy, he will send people that, oh, there is a pure devotee chanting my glories, so you go there. He will send sincere souls. So that's the principle of preaching. So if you chant purely the glories of Krishna, your tribe, your best, so Krishna will send. He is as a super soul in everyone's heart, so he will send sincere people to you. Right? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nita Gautama.